This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, Steeler Nation? This is Rashad Cowan. You're listening to SteelerNation.com podcast.
Hello, Steeler Nation, and you're listening to your SteelerNation.com podcast, sponsored by Total Sports Enterprises. Today, we are happy to have our newest offensive lineman, Rashad Coward. Rashad, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. You know, pretty tired, but can't complain.
Nice. Well, welcome to the show. I guess you're not in Pittsburgh yet. You're still in Illinois, correct?
Correct.
And whereabouts in Illinois do you live?
Mundelein.
Where exactly is that? I have no idea where that is. Is it close to Chicago?
It's like a 30-minute drive from Chicago.
Oh, that's not far then at all. So you started looking into houses in the Pittsburgh area yet?
Yeah, apartments for right now.
Yeah, before you can switch over and get everything set for the family.
Yeah.
Now, I love your Twitter account, man, because specifically like your first description, which I can relate to being a father and 8-year-old daughter, it simply reads girl dad. So tell Steeler Nation what it's like what being a girl dad means to you.
It motivates you in all aspects of life. Like when my wife first got pregnant, it was like a reality check. It got my priorities straight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know I got to provide for this little girl to make sure she has the best of everything. She not like by herself, but like give her opportunities in life that I didn't have and put her in a great position in life. So whatever she wants to be, I'll be there to push her out throughout the way. And it just changed my mindset of just pushing me harder on and off the field and just being a better person and, you know, treating my wife the right way so she could see how to be treated by a man when she's looking for a husband when she gets older. So it's me setting the example and growing up faster. So it was like, you know, she's like my twin. You know, she's just, she wants to play fight with me. She wants to do a lot with me.
Yeah.
You know, she see me running, she's gonna run behind me. I leave the house, I leave the car, she's gonna start panicking. She thinks I'm leaving her.
Oh no, yeah.
She makes me a better person, honestly.
That is perfectly said for the being the father of a daughter, because to me it changed me internally as well. It kind of made me open up my emotions a little bit more, made me listen a little bit more. And it's made me a better person because of it. So I absolutely love that you're getting that same incredible experience from your daughter Zora. Those pictures are amazing online. So Steeler Nation, you gotta check out those pictures too on Rashad's social media. He's on Instagram at RCRAMPAGE. That's RC Rampage, and Twitter at Rashad Coward, RashadCoward. And those pictures are awesome. Your family is beautiful, Rashad. And not only is your wife beautiful, but she's also smart. And I hear she's just finishing up her master's in social work. And what I found interesting is she still has time to whip some people's butts on Twitch. So tell us a little bit about this amazing woman.
Well, she's a little older than me, but she sees things differently and is helped me grow mentally when I struggle. I sometimes struggle mentally when it gets a little tough, but she helps me along the way and keeps me motivated and tell me, like, you know, you got this, you know, you won't be in this position for no reason. You've done it before.
Yeah.
And she had a different upbringing than me. She a military kid, so she's been bouncing around most of her life. And she's ran track in college.
Oh, wow.
And so she's an athlete too. So she understands the grind and importance to take care of your body. And she always tells me, hey, look, you need to eat healthy. She'll cook healthy foods. You know, I might not like it, but I'm always going to eat it because she put me in the right position. And so her master, she's doing social work right now. She's at Northwestern Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
She's finishing up her externship.
Yeah.
And she just finished up her last class with her teacher. So she's on the, like, she's literally a couple weeks out from graduating. I'm excited about that because she wants to start her career. And her being a mom and taking care of me and just, you know, playing the game, is that's what she does to relieve stress and like connect to people because, you know, COVID going out. So she picked that hobby up, and then it turned out, like, you know, I always told her, like, you need your own TV show because she's so animated and full of life. Like, she's the life of the party.
Yeah.
And it shows her game and how fast it's growing. Everybody loves her. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves seeing her play. Loves seeing her get mad and and watching her grow because she's been getting really good at the game.
Nice. And what's her favorite game right now?
Call of Duty and Among Us.
Yes. Yeah, because I saw the Call of Duty highlights, and she was just running around with a shield the entire time, just hitting people with a baton, trolling people.
She found out, like, started doing that, me and her the other day, and it's hilarious.
It is, man. It is. So you were born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. What was it like playing football and growing up there?
Growing up there, my first couple of years, like, I can remember my first, like, elementary school, middle school was rough. You know, I was always in trouble fighting, but make sure my brother was always good because I didn't want nobody picking on him or bothering him.
Yeah.
No, just always in trouble. Like, get to high school, my sister, like, I started playing Pop Warner football maybe my last year of middle school.
Yeah.
And my sister was like, you know, you got the hustle. So she harassed my high school coach before I even got there to make sure I got on the team.
Wow.
And then she told me, like, you know, you could go far with this. Like, this is your way out. And I didn't get it until probably my sophomore year. My mom was told me, like, you have to have at least an 80 average to play football. And I took it seriously because this is my fun. Like, this is what I enjoy to do. So I got myself together with school, started getting the better grades. And before you know it, school started coming. People started coming in and asking me, you know, how's the class work? You know, they like what they see on film. I had some big schools come in. Mm-hmm. You know, I made the clearinghouse literally maybe a week before National Signing Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Old Dominion offered me a scholarship via Facebook.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. My man, Coach Z, he's one of the closest coaches I still talk to this day. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for him because he gave me an opportunity, you know. And then after I made the clearinghouse, the big schools offered, but I was like, you guys, my thing is loyalty. And they weren't showing loyalty throughout the process. They just want me to, I guess, for another body. But Old Dominion, like, stuck it through where I was struggling getting the scores to the SAT. So I took the ACT.
Yeah.
And then when ODU said I finally got in, it was just up to the clearinghouse now. And then you know, the craziest thing is, I feel like I went in the first couple of tests I took, SAT, ACT, I was trying my hardest and I was getting bad scores on the reading.
Yeah.
Then I got cleared for ODU. I went to take the test, relaxed and chilling. The highest grades I got.
Nice.
I was like, I clearly made the clearinghouse like with ease. And I was like, okay.
Oh, sweet.
Like, why did I put so much pressure on myself? So my little brother motivated me when I was younger to play football too, because me and him did everything together. We're probably what, 2 years out, really only a year out.
Yeah.
And we do everything together. We did everything together growing up. We did everything when it came to sports. You could say fighting, riding bikes. We did everything together. He's always found a way to be successful in life, and he motivates me to push myself now.
Did he go to ODU with you as well?
No, so he went to Buffalo State because he tore his hamstring his senior year of football, so he didn't play football. So he just stopped with the football, and then now he works he does Border Patrol in New York State.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he just graduated, and he does that now. So I'm just, like, very proud of him because the young guy just doing what he got to do.
So when you were playing football starting off in high school, were you playing on the defensive side, or were we playing on offensive side, or a little bit of both?
I was playing both sides, offense and defense. Yeah. And kick return, punt return, everything. We only had 20 guys.
So what positions were you playing on offense and which positions on defense?
I played center.
Mm-hmm.
in high school. All through high school, I played center.
Wow.
And I played defensive tackle and defensive end. My senior year, my last 2 years, I played – my first 2 years, I played defensive tackle.
And then you go to Old Dominion University in Norfolk to play defensive tackle for the Monarchs.
Yes.
Now, Norfolk is a unique place because it has this, like, vacation vibe, and it's also, like, every branch of the armed forces are there. So what did you like best about living in that area?
I feel like it gave me a fresh start. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to lie to you. Everybody in New York City is hostile.
Yeah.
No. I get to Virginia, me being a young New York guy, I'm walking around, you know, mean face walking around, angry.
Yeah.
Everybody. Good morning. Hi, everyone. It's not a soldier and walk by that says hello, good morning. Everybody speaks. Everybody's being nice.
Oh,
and it softened me up a little bit to be, okay,
yeah,
I got myself. You know, I don't have to be all tense and on edge all the time.
Yeah.
Because you walk across the street and there'd be a group of guys, they start screaming, yo, like try to come bother you, want to go fight, jump you. So I'm like, okay, I can relax now. So I love the support the area gave the athletes. Mm-hmm. Like New York City didn't get so much hype around it, but in Virginia, they love their sports. And I loved it there. Like it was amazing. Like I don't want to say they'll treat you like celebrities, but you got like people knew who you were. Mm-hmm. People made you feel comfortable. And it was just amazing how they come together for a football game or event and there's no trouble. It's just everybody having a good time. And it stuck with me. I said, man, I need to live in a state where they show love to sports and show love to everyone. Like it just, your days will be nicer. But I feel like this is always warm there. Everybody's nice.
That's true. Well, it was a little colder in Chicago. So how would Chicago then compare as far as for the way that people are and treat their sports and their athletes there when you were playing with the Bears?
Like New York?
Yeah. Like New York. So it's a little bit harder, a little bit tougher.
Just cleaner than New York, for sure. Chicago's a very city. I'll just say that.
Okay, cool. So you had a lot of tackles for a defensive lineman, and you racked up over 120 tackles in 3 years. What was the favorite play that you made in college?
Oh, I might sound mean here. Okay, so we played Eastern Michigan my junior year, and the quarterback was killing me, like killing us. He was talking.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, I'm going to get you at least one time. So he rolls out to my left, his right.
Uh-huh.
He's running to throw the ball. And I hit him so hard, I broke his jaw.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And
my coach, the ref said the hit wasn't late. The hit was too violent.
Gotcha. And it's only violent because of the result, not necessarily how you hit the guy, right?
I hit him like I lowered my shoulder and I put my whole body weight on his like face.
Oh gosh. Wow.
Because it was just, you know, the kid was killing us. He was super athletic and really good. And it was just
we just need
to make a play. It wasn't a dirty hit, it wasn't a dirty play. He was running. If you scrambling, that's what happens. That and the tackle I had against NC State, the early in the game, and I blew up the running back in the backfield.
Oh, nice. And I saw you had a touchdown as well, right, on a fumble recovery in college as well?
I did, so.
Walk us through that one.
You know what kills me about that game?
What's that?
My mom and my family comes to every game. And this one game, I guess the bus broke down, so they – the one game they didn't come, I scored a touchdown. I was so mad.
Oh, gosh.
So, what was it? So, it was a three-down front. I was playing and just a good thing because it was, like, I think third and long or fourth and long. Yeah. We already hit safety last drive. So, I just bull rushed the tackle. And then the defensive end on the other side, boom, he hits a spin move and then knocks the ball out. You know, in practice, you see the ball. You're like, is that the ball? I said, is that the ball?
Yeah.
So, I started running for the ball and I picked it up.
Oh.
I was like 7 yard line. I'm running to 7 yard line. Somebody grabs my leg. I already scored, but I made sure I was in the end zone. So I stretched out. And everybody ran off the sidelines going crazy. I know we had penalty after that, but like everybody was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Everybody was going nuts.
Yeah.
That's the best home game performance we had by far.
And there's just nothing as exciting being a defensive player getting to get in that end zone and punch yourself in. And that's why the whole team goes nuts too, man. So that really had to be a fun experience.
Running off the sideline, like almost the whole team, guys with no helmets, and the ref is like pointing at guys, throwing flag. like we just scored a touchdown.
Right. Calm down, refs. Let the big guy score a touchdown and everybody celebrate, because that gets everybody excited. That's awesome. Was that early in the game? Was that late in the game?
It was late in the game. We were up by, like, I think, 10. Uh-huh. And they could have scored, because there was a lot of time in the fourth quarter left. They could have scored and put the game closer.
Yeah, that was like.
And that fumble, like, put the game away. That touchdown put the game away.
That's awesome. So then everybody really could start celebrating, because they knew that the win was pretty much assured after that play.
Exactly. I was so happy. Right. Okay. This is like your college moment right here. And I had one. I was like, okay, this is amazing. This is my senior year. Yeah. It was amazing.
Oh, cool. So you also ended up, I think it was your senior year, you ended up playing in the Bahamas Bowl. So tell us what it's like to go travel to the islands and play a football game.
It was nice. You know, I've been there before at a young age. My mom took our siblings on a cruise, me and my siblings on a cruise.
Yeah.
But as an adult, it was nice. Like, it was really nice. Plant we came in, uh-huh. You just saw the water just change, you know.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, guys, when y'all see that water, you always gonna be in the water.
that beautiful cold. Blue.
I was like, you know, I come from New York, the water green out there.
So, well, Chicago, it gets green around St. Patrick's Day, but you don't want to get in that water either.
No, you don't. But it was like, yo, this is amazing.
Yeah.
We did a lot of team bonding things. Like, had dinner together when we first got there. They had a whole festival for us. The only thing I didn't like was we ate Popeyes every day, and I hated it. Like, that's. But other than that, it was a great experience. We had a nice dance contest, dance off. We had swimming with the dolphins, and I have a couple pictures.
Oh,
where,
cool!
I had a couple videos, a couple pictures where the dolphins are like taking us in the water, doing tricks. We had to pet the dolphins. It was great.
Oh, that's awesome! That's awesome.
That year was magical, and then the game time, the guys knew. When practice came and game time came, we were locked in, we were focused, we were ready to just play. Like, you know, this is it. This is our last year. I said, we're not going to lose this game. Mm-hmm. We played these guys about two years in a row already. It was like, yo, they're not beat.
Yeah, you guys had their number too, it looked like, from all the times you were playing them.
They were good. They were a good team.
They were a good team.
But I'm just happy that we came out on top and first ever bowl game in school history and first ever bowl win. And that's always
one of us. That's awesome.
It was a great way to go out. Like, you started up a program and you get them to a bowl game, and it's just, you know, just amazing feeling. Like, okay, this is your legacy at this school.
Yep. Oh, that's great. And you ended up beating Eastern Michigan, and the Steelers just ended up signing a wide receiver that played in that game by the name of Matthew Sexton. So are you planning on reminding him who won that game when you see him in training camp?
Me, I'm not the one to rub it in your face, but if you bring it up, it's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen. Like, it is.
You know, those Eastern Michigan guys are going to say something to you.
they were like, you shouldn't see me the whole week during the bowl week. The coach was like, can you please get hurt in practice? I'm just like, what? I'm like, all right. I'm not even about to talk to you.
Oh, gosh. That's something else. So, and also another thing that Steeler Nation may or may not know, but you got a lot of good players that are coming out of that school. And last year, I remember Travis Fulgham, who played with you. I mean, he was killed us in that Eagles game. I mean, he had like 150 yards and a touchdown against us. I know Tyler Heinicke was playing for – Taylor Heinicke. Yeah, he was playing for the Washington team right there in the playoffs and at the end of the year, and he was doing some good stuff for them as well. He shows he can play in this league. But, I mean, you can go on and on. There's some really good players just around the league. And do you still talk with any of them? Are you still close to any of them?
Yeah, so I talked to O'Shane because I played defensive line with him, and he's the first player drafted from Old Dominion.
Nice, and he's at the Giants now, right?
Yeah, so we played him twice now. So I played against him. You know, I would just tell each other, be proud of each other, and just keep focused and keep pushing. Because you know, we came from, we come from a small school, and we just need each other to be like motivate each other every week. Like, yo, even when he was hurt, I was like, bro, how your shoulder? How you feeling? You know, well, how your mindset? How your mental going? Because I want to make sure my guys are good. Like, I, you know, when Zach have a breakout game against the Texans, I congratulate him. Like, yo, you doing your thing. Like, when they beat us last year, the coach had beat us. He told me, like, yo, we going to beat y'all. And I was like, I don't know, because we got a pretty good defense. And I gave it to him. I say, y'all the real deal. Mm-hmm. And Taylor, that performance you see from Taylor, that's normal for us. Like, you don't even know.
Wow.
Taylor.
Yeah, because he's making plays, like, doing the best that he could with
what he had. That's what Taylor does. That's what Taylor is a gamer. He's a baller. Yeah. And I'm happy he had another opportunity. Mm-hmm. And he's comfortable enough to be himself and just go play, because Taylor is a player. Like, nobody – I've seen Taylor do scary things. And it's like, yo, this guy is a problem. And I'm just glad he has the opportunity to compete for a starting job, because if he gets that starting job, I know he'll take advantage of it, where he'll play for a longer time, because he's already had 5 years in the NFL already.
Yeah, that's great.
And then Rick, Super Bowl champion. What can you say about that? Long snapper for the Eagles, Super Bowl champion. He's always been accurate, and always making tackles. That's one thing. He ain't soft. And Travis just came on. Travis turned up.
I know.
Travis is coming on the scene. I was like, oh, he's about to be scary. Once he get it together, he's going to be scary. And in his senior year, nobody could guard him. And he needed an opportunity, and he got one from the Eagles. And I was like, you know what? I'm happy that he's mentally ready for his because he's going to be great. Like, this is just the beginning, because Travis is super athletic and gifted, and it's just the beginning for him. And I'm excited for that, because ODU is producing players, and I'm happy. He came from a walk-on, earned a scholarship within a week.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how it
gets. Within a week. You never hear of a walk-on earning a scholarship with them. It's incredible if they can win a scholarship within a year. That is insane.
Yes, that's how crazy good he was. It was a kid, I forgot what Jason said, he had an 80 number. And it was just, yo, who's this kid catching his passes off of all our DBs?
Wow.
And then within a week, he got a scholarship, and then it was just up from there. He just kept doing it. And I was just like, you know what, I'm just happy to see guys do well. Yeah.
And I saw him doing the league against my team last year, so I know he's going to continue to do it. And I guess Tim Ward also won a championship then with Kansas City.
Tim is an animal.
Yeah.
Like, with Tim, I'm sad that he got hurt his senior year in ODU, but the Chiefs liked him enough to give him a shot. And the first game he played, he gets a sack.
Oh, like, gosh.
Tim is going to be a problem. Like, Tim, keep doing what he's doing. Tim is going to be he might be the best out of all of us, honest truth.
Wow. Wow, that's great. Yeah. And I remember Jeremy Cox being the running back for you guys as well. I think he played in that Bahamas game as well with you, didn't he?
Yeah, he's hurdling guys. He's hurdling guys. Yeah, he's a big guy. He plays fullback right now.
Yeah.
The Broncos.
Correct.
Yeah. So Jeremy always had that mentality from.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Young, like, I'm going to the pros no matter what. That's what he always had that mindset. He said, draft or not, I'm going to the pros.
Yeah.
And he just self-determined. And it's like, you can see where guys were head at, like, where their heads at. Like, okay, what is it? What are they about? He had the size. He has the athleticism. He has the speed. Jeremy was like, I'm going to make it. And he had the mental, and he's doing what he said he's going to do.
That's awesome. Then Zach Pascal with the Colts, who was out of your draft class.
Yeah, Zach is the ball. He's going to be one of the top receivers. Like, when he get his shot to be the number one receiver, he's going to be the number one receiver. Like, hands down.
Wow, nice.
Help him. Carson Wentz is going to help him with that.
That's going to be great. I can't wait to see that this year.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know, since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
So when you were deciding which team to join after the draft, did the Steelers reach out to you at all, or was it just Chicago or any other teams?
It was other teams that offered like more money to join teams. Me was, I didn't want to be a camp body. I wanted to see my best situation.
Yeah. That's and smart.
At the time, because my agent said the money's going to come regardless. You don't want $60,000 just to get cut.
Yeah.
You're going to make that within maybe 4 weeks. He said, you know, pick where they need help on the area and you can play it well. And at the time that the Bears needed depth to the D-line.
Yeah.
And I said, I was the only rookie they were signing a D-line. So I said, okay,
yeah,
the best for me right now. Mm-hmm. And I said, down the road, if any of the teams pop up, because the Steelers were at my practices a lot at ODU. Oh, wow.
Nice.
You know, it was a bad part, though. The days they would come in and watch me practice, I would have to leave practice maybe an hour early because I had class.
Gotcha.
So they only see the one-on-ones and not team.
And that's Coach Tomlin's old stomping grounds, too. He's from the Newport News area, so he knows ODU well. Yeah.
I go to his camps. I've been going to his camps the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So I've been at his banquet at night, and we just have conversations. He would just tell me, you know, stay motivated, keep pushing yourself. And he was telling all the young guys, like, look, do what you do best. Forget the strings attached. Just, if you can play ball, just play ball and have fun and enjoy it, because it ain't going to last forever, honestly.
Yeah. So you were playing defensive lineman your rookie year there with the Bears. And tell us the process when you transitioned to becoming an offensive lineman. Whose decision was that and what you had to go through to get your body and ready to play that? Well, obviously, at least you had some background from high school doing it.
Well, yeah, it was different compared to high school.
Yeah,
it,
sure.
Completely different. But I was struggling at first. I was just my athleticism, just trying to get back and try to move around. And just try to stay in the way. That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio pulled me in the office, like, do you want to play 4 years in the NFL and try to make a roster, barely making a roster as a defensive tackle, or do you want to have a 10-year career playing offensive line?
Nice.
And I was like, well, that's obvious. You know, I'm not about to have my pride in the way.
Yeah.
So Coach Nagy called me to his office, and I told Coach Nagy, I'll do anything to help this team win. Like,
awesome.
I don't care if it's like I play special teams. I want to help the team win, and I want to be the guy. I'm a team player. I told him, I said, I'm a team player. I do whatever it takes to help the team win. I didn't care. I did it.
Awesome.
And, you know, I come home, talk to my wife. I'm like, look, they want me to switch over. I'm going to do it. You know, I was kind of sad, but I told myself, I said, if this works out, this is great for the best for the both of us. Because offensive lineman careers last longer than defensive linemen.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And we had a Hall of Fame game that year against the Ravens.
Mm.
And Coach Fangio mm-hmm. brought me to the Jackie Slater bus and was like, you got the mobility, you got the size, you could be just like this guy. Mm. You know, he's been around, he said, you could do it. He said, just keep working hard, you could do it. He's just been motivating me throughout camp. He's like, look, you got this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Then when you sign your next contract, you need to send me a $100 bill with your signature on it. Okay. I got
nice.
You. And then Coach Raiola, Donnie Raiola, like I wasn't getting the offensive scheme. I was confused. I was going the wrong way someplace. And Coach Raiola took me like 2 days before the game to put chairs out. And we walked through all the plays and assignments just to help me understand as a picture, not just people in front of me.
Yeah.
And he showed different fronts and was like, this is this front. What do you do? And if I go the wrong way, he said, no, Shad, think about it. You can't just leave him by himself. And he was teaching me just the ins and outs. Because he played all line too. And his older brother played like 13 years for the Lions at center. So he knows the game. So I'm like, okay, thank you. Every day at practice, before the game and before – like even before the preseason games, we in training camp, Coach Raiola will be out there with me in the 30 minutes before practice, 30 minutes after practice, just helping me understand concepts and helping me with just basic techniques, because I used to play on my toes a lot, just basic techniques to stay balanced and stay square. And I've always appreciated him for that. And then by the time the game time came, I was comfortable enough to play ball, like comfortable enough to just go have fun and just play. Like, I didn't care about the results. I didn't care about what anybody said. I said, you know what? I'm just going to play, just have fun and play football. And not being okay. And I was like, and my coach was like, you know, you surprised us the way you played. We didn't expect that from you. Yeah. I was like, okay. I'm like, that's cool. That's a start. I said, we still got to grow. That was all good.
And I'm showing some highlights as you, because I know you're on your phone, so you probably can't see this, but I know you're wearing number 69 there for the Bears. Looks like you're playing right guard, and just got some great highlights here of you blowing up some people that Steeler Nation gets to enjoy here while we're watching while we're listening to you speak. So just to give Steeler Nation a little bit of a hint of what to look forward to when you start donning the black and gold here for us soon. So in college, you wore number 57. Then in the pros, you changed to my absolute favorite number, which is number 69. And tell us what the decision was to switch numbers and why you chose 69.
Oh, I didn't choose 69. They just gave it to me.
Oh, they did. Oh, I got you. So it's like, you got to be 69.
They just said, here, it's a jersey. And I said, okay, well, it's a number at the end of the day. And then everybody made a big thing about it. I was like, bro, it's just a number. Like, relax.
Because yeah. Back in, at least when I played school, the funniest guy on the team, it seemed, was always number 69. So I didn't know if you were the one cracking the jokes out there. And
I was cracking the jokes. I was that guy. Like, yeah. I just want guys to enjoy and have fun, because it's a stressful job, you know, like mentally and physically. So it's like, if you could just wind down and have fun and crack jokes with each other, then that's like, you create a brotherhood, and it's like, you know, everybody being themselves.
That's it. Yeah.
And, you know, it was fun. Like, we were crack jokes, but when it's time to work, we were all working. Like, it was never where we didn't take it seriously. We guys were working, even the vets were out there. When coach asked them to do something, they didn't have a problem. They did it. Like, it wasn't a problem. And I was like, okay. And these 10-year guys. So I said, if they're doing that, that means I'm no better. I need to do it too. So whatever they were doing, I was trying to work on it. The same thing. Mm-hmm.
So you're coming to the Steelers. I know the Steelers currently, for the first time, I mean, we haven't had the number 69 picked up on the Steelers in decades, it seems. And Kevin Dotson, the rookie lineman from the previous year, ended up taking that number. So you coming to the Steelers, are you going to try to keep 69, or you're going to move to a different number?
Whatever number they give me, honestly. Like, I'm a new guy. I'm not going to come in here, body toes. If that's your number, that's your number. That's cool. No, new team, new number. That's how I go by.
Awesome. I did see on your social media, though, it looked like somebody threw you with a 68 Steelers jersey on it. I love that.
They just threw it on there, and I was just like, okay, I like the edit, so I was like, okay, I'll take this.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. So, Steelers, I know they reached out to you this year, and can you tell us who you spoke to first, and what was your experience like then, I guess, changing teams, having to go from Chicago to Pittsburgh?
Okay, so a couple of teams that were talking to me or my agent when free agency started was Tennessee, the Bills, mm-hmm. Baltimore, mm-hmm. Steelers, and the Jets.
A lot of good running teams there, yeah.
And the Bears.
Yeah.
My thing was, I felt like I needed a fresh start, and just mm-hmm. mentally a fresh start, because I was going through it a little bit over there. And no disrespect to them. It was just time for me to go, honestly. And, you know, meeting Mike Tomlin, having those conversations with him, and just, you know, just he just wants your guy. He just wants his guys to be great. No mind games, no playing around. He just wants his guys to be great and That's take awesome. Care of his guys and show respect to his guys. And I was like, you know what? I told my agent, I said, if nobody offers me in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to Pittsburgh. I don't care. I told him, I said, I don't care. I said, I would love to play in Pittsburgh. Like I would love to do it. And he was like, you sure? I said, look at me. I said, I'm sure. I said, I don't care what comes next. I said, I'm focused. This is where I want to go. And he was like, okay. In 30 minutes, it maybe not even 30 minutes, maybe 20. I said, yo, tell him I'm signing the paper.
Oh, wow.
I'm signing. I said, I don't care. Like, I'm not even... Don't waste my time.
That's great. And Did Coach Tomlin then talk to you at all about what positions they can foresee you playing? Have you discussed any center? Have you discussed either left guard or right guard or both, or just basically anywhere on the interior?
So when I told him I want to sign there, I'm good with signing there. They said, oh, we're going to have to fire you out this Monday. And it was a Saturday. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So I had to go like 11 p.m. at night to get my hair retwisted and my haircut because I haven't got a lineup and anything like a haircut in probably 3 months.
Yeah.
I need a cut.
my beard feels you, man.
So they flew me out Sunday night. And I get there, I get to the facility, and then Coach Tomlin was like, yo, I didn't know you were this versatile. I'm not seeing you at right guard, left guard, right tackle.
Yeah.
I said, whatever they needed me, I'll go out there and do my best. Like, what else can you ask for? Mm-hmm. And he was like, he said, we can work with that. He said, we're going to get to work. That's what he said. He said, we're going to get to work. So I was like, okay, I already know it's going to be hard work. Everybody plays physical there. And I'm like, cool, it's going to make you tough. So I wasn't worried about it. I said, all right, these guys, I already know their front seven is pretty good. So I said, we're going to be in for a long run. I just keep working. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it for sure.
So did you start – do you still work at all at snapping the football, playing any center since you used to do that in high school?
Yeah, I could snap the ball still. That's not a problem. It's just it's really just flick of the wrist.
Yeah.
Me – with center is a difference at this level because high school, I didn't have to make those checks. I didn't make those calls.
Yeah. Good call. Yeah.
So now they want me to work both sides of the interior and I can play right tackle. So that's what it is.
Perfect.
So right now there's no being blindsided. I say, okay, I need to work on these positions and I'm good. Like I'm going to work my craft in left guard, right tackle, and I'm going. That's
awesome because Steelers can use help everywhere. It's one thing that the Pittsburgh, I don't know how familiar you are with the way that Pittsburgh brings in players, but they like players with a lot of position flexibility across the offensive line when they bring an offensive lineman. And that gives you the best chance of course, making your way onto the team and then building your way up through the roster. So I'm really excited to see you play and come through in multiple positions to tell you the truth. Cause did you play right guard the most then at Chicago?
My second year switching over, I ended up starting. So I was a third string guard and a second string tackle.
Okay.
Or the third. So yeah, second string tackle. Mm-hmm. And I believe Kyle gets hurt. Mm-hmm. And then I have no team reps at right guard all week. And I told Ted, I said, yo, do not get hurt because I haven't had no team reps all week at right guard.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, Ted cracked his kneecap. So, coach said, Shad, I'm like, low-key, my heart dropped. I said, of course, this is me. I said, of course, this is my life. Everything's happening out of nowhere. I said, it's okay. I said, it's all right.
Yeah.
So, I get in the huddle. First thing everybody says to me, yo, we got you. Don't worry about it. I'll let you know what you're doing. Just relax and communicate with me. We got you. And I felt way, like, my heart, I was like, okay, I'm good. Because then my boys got my back. I'm good.
Yeah.
Big Bobby Massey was like, bro, Just be aggressive and just do your job, bro. You're good. Just remember, you taking care of your family. Remember that and keep working. I said, all right, cool. And Chuck would help hit me with that look, Shad. You got this. And like you ain't even played right tackle before, and you've done a good job. And said, yo, just play hard. Like don't even worry about it. So I said, thank you. I appreciate it. And Cody tapped me like, you good, bro? I got you. Don't even worry about it. I said, okay, cool. So we get out there against the Vikings. Decent game.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, coach is like, hey, you might be on to something. So I ended up starting 10 games. And next season, this past season, I played, we had no preseason games, but we had scrimmages. Every scrimmage, I was playing right guard, right tackle. Like every drive, I was switching over. So it wasn't like I had a groove, but I was having a great, like, it's probably my best camp last year by far. My mental, like, positivity. And I told myself, I'm going to be positive every day. And I'm going to choose one thing to work on in practice every day. Changes. So even when I got beat, I was like, look, what I do wrong? Coach was like, okay, you need to work on this more. I'll go out to practice and work on it. Then I think James blows his pec out. And Coach asked me, said, can you play left guard for me? I know you never played it. And I'm like, it is what it is, coach. Mm-hmm. I said, whatever happened, happens. First game, I had a pretty good first game. Mm-hmm. And good, decent pass protection, and we were running the ball pretty well. Mm-hmm. And that Rams game, like I told him, I told coach, look, that Rams game, like, did it for me mentally. Like, I had to lock in. I didn't care. Yeah. I had to turn up. I didn't care who I was going against. Like, I just played ball.
That's one of the toughest front sevens in all of football. That's insane. Yeah.
And then, so I had at least three plays where I got beat, and it showed, like, okay, these guys are the real deal.
Yeah.
And I had some really good plays where it's like, okay, I've done it once. You could do it again. Now, just let's be consistent. And I felt like the Saints had a really good front seven as well.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So I ended up playing, I think, three games at left guard and two games at right tackle.
Mm. So it doesn't matter where you go. You're just going to plug and play and do your hardest, and that's great to hear as a fan of football. Yeah, man. I love that.
I'm just excited for the support from the coaching staff in Pittsburgh. Just like, yo, like, we like what we saw. And this helps our, like, if this fits their scheme, I was like, okay, that's something to work off of, you know. It mm-hmm. makes me, that means I could do this. Okay, I'm ready to prepare myself to get to work and push myself to the limit.
Nice. And so since you play both sides of the field, what play gives you the most pleasure then? Would you say getting a sack or helping your offense score a touchdown?
Scoring a touchdown, because collectively, you got to be all on the same page. So if you're not all on the same page, you can't score. And I've realized that it's more than just not giving up sacks and not – or blocking your guy. It's making sure, like, you know your assignments, know the adjustments. And I've learned that last year, like, mentally. Like, I got the physical parts, aspect down. It's mentally – this game is all mental, and I'm learning that. Like, it's all mental.
Yeah.
You do it, you're going to do it. If you hesitate, if you say you can't do it, 9 times out of 10, you're going to mess up.
Yeah.
And me mentally last year was shed positivity the night before. My college coach used to tell me, envision yourself making plays, envision yourself mm-hmm. blocking your assignments. And I just brought it back to myself, like, okay. And just envision myself doing the right thing, you know. And then my wife used to tell me, yo, you're going to mess up. Even if you mess up, next play mentality, like, who cares? You can't change it. Just move on.
Yeah.
And was in the past was I would harp on one play, and then I would have a rough stretch,
mm-hmm.
and I get over it. And last year it was, I had a bad play. I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. He made the play, cool. Next play, okay, we got a big run, cool. Or it's good. It's good enough pass protection where he got a deep shot. I'm like, okay, see. Yeah. I said, next play mentality, and I'm learning that as a young guy on the old line. You got to always one and understand, like, you know, just focus on the next play. Like, you can't change the last play. Like, just let it go.
True. And we got a shout out for you from Facebook. Brandon Wallace is to shout out to hashtag ODU.
Yeah, ODU.
So we're at the time at the podcast where we take questions from Steeler Nation. So Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, if you got any questions, put them in now. I'm going to be going over to SteelerNation.com questions from the forum members, where we put up a thread every time we have a podcast, every time we have an interview. Go over to SteelerNation.com, join the football forum, get yourself a free handle so you can ask questions here as well. So the first ones I'm going to ask you are from /Steel. He says, I also see you're from Brooklyn, and one site had you majoring in criminal justice. What made you choose criminal justice as a major?
Just because of the narrative mm-hmm. about cops, you know. Yeah. I've never had a bad run-in with a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like myself, if football didn't work out, I was going to go back to New York and be a police officer to make it a better thing for kids to feel safe. And I feel you can't take guys that didn't come from the area and put them in that area, and they're not going to understand
mm-hmm.
like what those kids are going through. Not saying just let them slide with, you know, doing illegal stuff. I'm just saying,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
the way to approach someone, the way to talk to somebody, it's just different. Because I've seen my friends get stopped, frisked, slammed on the ground before, and put in us, and I'm standing there like, you know, they'll tell me have a nice day, but always hostile to those guys. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I got pulled over one time in New York because my tints were too dark.
Yeah.
But it's legal in Illinois. Gotcha. And they pulled me over and told me pull my roll down all my windows. These guys came up, hand on the gun on the hip, and I'm sitting here, my hands up, like, look, like, you know, I'm not doing nothing. I didn't want to let it light. I didn't turn to the right.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't switch lanes. And I was wondering what's going on. Mm-hmm. Oh, your tints are just too dark. I said, okay, that's cool, but like, you know, you have no reason to pull me over. Mm-hmm. So I said. And I feel like those guys were just being too aggressive. Like, just, you know, come respect people and they'll respect you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm a respect guy. Like, you respect me, I'm gonna show you respect. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to disrespect you if I don't know you.
Definitely. That's great.
And it'll make the situation much calmer, mm-hmm. if it's not a hostile situation, of course. But,
yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted to do. And just make a difference in the community so the kids won't be afraid of police officers. Mm. Just make a difference. That's what I wanted to do.
That's great. Superman asked us, what was it like playing with Mitch Trubisky?
Mitch is a great guy. Mm. Nobody knows Mitch. I know Mitch. Mitch is a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy to be around. He's always invited you to his house. Always wanted to put his offensive line. He took care of his guys. Mm. You know? Mitch is going to be a great player. I don't care what nobody says.
Yep.
Mitch has a new opportunity. I know Josh Allen's there. When Mitch gets his opportunity, Mitch can play.
He's a playmaker. Yeah.
He can play.
Yeah.
I know Chicago fan base is real rough. Like, mm-hmm. no disrespect to them, but it's really rough and really scary at times. But Mitch could play. Just like, honestly, Mitch could play. And I'm happy for him that he has a fresh start. And I'm happy for him that he's doing so much in his life. He's engaged now.
Oh, nice.
I went down to Florida and I just saw how happy he was. And a new person. I said, Mitch, I'm like, you so energized. He said, bro, I'm just so happy, bro. I'm just so happy. I just want to keep working. He's a good person. Like, he's always going to take care of you. He'll buy you. He'll if you needed something, mm. Mitch will got Mitch has Mitch got you. Oh, like, wow. That person he is.
Mm. Oh, that's great. And I love getting that kind of insight, because that's one thing that we don't get as fans. We don't get to know players as people. We get to know players as statistics and what they do on a football field. So thank you so much for sharing that with me, Shad. I appreciate that. And last question we got here from Cooley Man. He asks, what are your initial impressions of Pittsburgh, the town, and the team?
So when I came into Pittsburgh, I felt like it was real calm and nice, and I just like how chill it was. And it was so many hills, and I said, "Man, this feels like I'm in Puerto Rico." Like, I was felt amazing. I said, "Man, this is great." And I played at Heinz Field already in college my freshman year against Pitt, so I know the stadium is huge and it gets loud. I like the facility.
Yeah.
I don't need fancy things. I like old school. And the way they do stuff is old school. You ain't got to go crazy with technology. They just get the job done, mm-hmm. you know? And I like that. It don't have to be fancy and flashy. They just get the job done. Like, I went in the weight room. I saw everything, how it was set up, the fields, the tubs, everything. It's nothing fancy. It's just, you know, we here to work.
Yeah.
We here. And then that's what they say. Yo, we don't care nothing else but winning. This is Disney World. All we care about is winning. And I say, I like the mentality. All right. It was just great. My Uber driver, all he did was talk about the Steelers, who he had in his car. Yeah. And he's telling me the local areas and where the bars were, where the colleges were. And it was everybody was nice too. Like, everybody really was nice out there. And I said, this is nice. This is real low key. It's chill. And everybody loves their sports. I like it already.
Well, I hope that that our team reaches out and embraces you the way you deserve to be embraced, man. You're a heck of a guy. I love this interview. I feel like I've really gotten to know you, Shad. So I really appreciate your time. Steeler Nation, you got to follow him on Instagram at RC Rampage, RCRAMPAGE, and on Twitter at Rashad Coward, RASHAADCOWARD. You know, much thanks, much love to you, man. Thank you so much for joining and talking.
Thank you for having me on the podcast today. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome, man. And I want to get you a t-shirt too. I'll shoot you an email and get you a podcast t-shirt. So loved having you on.
Yeah, same. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
and Steeler Nation. You too can get great unique gifts on the SteelerNation.com gear page. We have every size and many color choices to satisfy all of Steeler Nation. We are the best site for unique Steelers content on the internet. Click the podcast button to listen to one of our many interviews or the forum button for the best football discussion on the internet. Subscribe to Steeler Nation on YouTube channel to be the first to know about our live vidcasts and video uploads at www.youtube.com/SteelerNation. Tweet us at Steeler Nation, Instagram us at SteelerNation.com. Follow us on the Steeler Nation podcast on Twitter at _SN Podcast, or you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at SN Striker, Striker spelled with a Y. And thank you once again for joining us for the SteelerNation.com podcast, sponsored by Total Sports Enterprise. I am your host, G Striker, along with Rashad Coward, rooting along with you as always. Go Steelers!